this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Y'allitics. We're coming to you from the newsroom for this episode because we've been brainstorming a bunch of different ideas to do this podcast on. And every time we talk about this, one thing always rises to the top. Wheeler's been over here at his desk making calls about this too, but we're hearing this from lawmakers. We're hearing this from everyone involved in economics, which is what Wheeler covers a lot.
How is your desk so much cleaner than mine, first of all?
Yeah, I want you to look at this, by the way.
Yeah.
Look at this.
I just had lunch, so yeah, I need to clean it up. I know that, but look, the surface is better than it was. So I've been checking in along the Texas-Mexico border because trade there is huge, and I don't think a lot of people realize how much stuff is coming across the Texas-Mexico border every single day. Laredo, for example, is the biggest by trade volume. The dollar amounts is the biggest port in the entire United States, and so that is a big deal. We went just a little bit south of there to McAllen to talk about this, and it's been extraordinary what's been happening with these tariffs going back and forth in the past couple of days.
Yeah, and you know, Trump's trade war isn't just on the economic side. Obviously, the political folks are talking a lot about this. Republicans don't want to talk too much about it. They're hoping the White House defends itself on this. But we went to Arlington, Texas, in between Dallas and Fort Worth, where the Chevy Tahoe, the Cadillac Escalade, the Chevrolet Suburban has been made for decades over there. 5,200 workers work over there. And the mayor of Arlington, Jim Ross, along with Mayor Ron Nirenberg down in San Antonio, they both came up with a letter they sent to Senators John Cornyn and Senator Ted Cruz and saying, hey, listen, Trump's trade war isn't going to be good for anybody in the automotive business. And if you don't know, in San Antonio, the Toyota truck's made down there. Is that right, mm-hmm. Wheeler? You worked down right there for a while. Yeah. So in San Antonio, that's where they make the Toyota truck. Up here is where they make the Chevy vehicles. 7,000 or 8,000 total folks are on the front lines of the automotive industry. And these mayors are pretty concerned about what's going to happen if these tariffs actually happen. And Mayor Ross said that he thinks they actually might happen, which is a little unnerving for all the folks over there. Let's start this podcast, though, with Mayor Jim Ross from Arlington. Mayor, thanks for having us here in Arlington.
Thank you for coming.
The letter you sent with Mayor Nirenberg from San Antonio, do you think that letter and the thousands of Texas auto workers helped influence this decision for the president to delay these tariffs for another month?
I don't know. You know, I know that the big three auto manufacturers here went to the White House, had a visit with the president. Subsequent to that, there was a delay on the tariffs regarding the automotive industry. I think that probably had a greater influence than Mayor Nirenberg and I writing a letter to our congressman. You know,
did you hear back from anybody in Congress?
We have not.
You also said in your letter there is no time to take a wait-and-see attitude or grant the president the benefit of the doubt here. Do you still feel that way with the April 2nd tariffs looming on us?
Yeah, you know, it's problematic. We have 5,200 auto workers here at the General Motors Assembly Plant here in Arlington. I'm certainly concerned with their livelihood. General Motors is a massive part of our community. They are engaged in our community on all fronts, and I'm concerned about what's going to happen to General Motors, to other assembly. I grew up in Detroit, you know. I grew up in the auto industry. My father's retired from Chrysler. I'm concerned about what it's going to do to the auto industry, what it's going to do to the country as a whole.
In your gut, do you think these are going to happen, or is this just political posturing?
I think it's going to happen.
You think so?
I do. I pray it doesn't. But I think it's going to happen at least for a period of time, for however long that is, I'm not sure. These are substantial things. Well, it's already happened to some extent. Tariffs have been implemented. And, I don't know. You know, it's a lot of the uncertainty of what's happening with tariffs or executive orders or or, you know, on the immigration front. There's a lot that uncertainty or the threat of it all is certainly problematic.
If these tariffs are enacted, how much could the price go up for a Chevy Tahoe or a Suburban or an Escalade? Any idea? Have you heard from?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard different expectations that it could be as little as $8,000 to $10,000 per vehicle, or as much as $15,000 to $20,000. That's a substantial increase in the cost of an SUV. But I'm certainly concerned about the citizens here in Arlington. I'm certainly concerned about their ability to afford to put food on the table, their ability to buy vehicles, their ability to put gas in those vehicles if they get them. And these tariffs are substantial. And then, you know, Mexico and Canada are our closest allies. We've never had a tariff war with them like we're having now. I feel like we're picking a fight with our brother and sister.
Mayor, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So Mayor Ross clearly concerned there about what's happening politically with the president's trade war here, but that's just the political side of it. There's like the reality of this is that, you know, Texans are really going to be feeling it.
Yeah, you know, and one of the interesting things, and again, there's been a lot of back and forth on this. You know, I don't know how closely you've paid attention to what's been going on with tariffs just in the past several days here. A lot of this we recorded, you know, after the tariffs kicked in on March 4th, and then, you know, some of them were pulled back the next day, I think it was, and then the day after that, a lot of them were pulled away. And so it's just been this back and forth and back and forth on this. It's been kind of this whiplash. But when the tariffs were still in effect, I spoke with Jorge Torres, who is with Interlink Trade Services down in the valley in McAllen specifically. He has been doing this for decades, facilitating trade between Texas and Mexico, importers and exporters, bringing things across. And, you know, he gave us, I think, a really good snapshot of what's been happening with trade just in these past several days. And again, even these tariffs that have been suspended for 1 month. And so, you know, there's a good chance that we see these go back into effect again. And it really is causing some chaos for these folks who try to get this trade moving across the border. And he explains what's happening down there and what could be happening in your store and in your wallet if all of this goes forward as it did, at least for a day or two. First of all, thanks for being back with me, Jorge. It's been, what, 3 years since we actually talked face-to-face last? It's been a while. Lots happened. Can you talk about what's going on right now along the Texas-Mexico border, which is usually just bustling and crazy? What are things going like right now with these tariffs being thrown around?
Well, like we're all aware, the 25% tariffs for Mexican origin products are effective since yesterday, March 4th. It caught a lot of importers and, you know, the customs brokerage and logistics industry by surprise, because everyone was expecting at the last minute for the president to at least extend it for another 30 days or delay the implementation. So no, we woke up yesterday morning and they're in place. So, yes, it's been quite a task to ensure to provide information to importers, exporters, and navigate through what's going on. A lot of exporters in Mexico are holding up shipments. In Mexico, they're not shipping them because to see, first of all, if they're going to go away in the next couple of days or to until they figure out a plan how to mitigate or reduce the financial exposure for those.
Okay. So let's talk about that for just a minute. So you've been speaking with people in Mexico who are saying, hey, you know what? We're just going to pause sending stuff right now because if we don't send it across right now, obviously it doesn't get hit with this 25% tax and then possibly passed on to consumers. But isn't that inflationary in itself? If you have a lot of goods that would have come across that are sitting in Mexico, I mean, that's what we saw when inflation ran up during the pandemic. It was a lack of stuff on the shelves that started making those prices increase in part. Might we see inflation just caused by that with people holding on to product?
Yes, there are several industries that are being impacted by this. One of them is the automotive industry, which we can talk a little bit after I mentioned this. And then the other one is the food products, the produce and some other food products that come to Mexico. Yes, by holding on those in Mexico, that is going to create an issue with the shelves at the stores at the HEB and Target and other stores. So yeah, if they hold up inventory in Mexico and not ship it to the US, that might create a lack of supply, which will create some inflationary pressures.
Now, Jorge, I do want to
Yes.
talk about autos here in just a minute, but let's
Yes.
drill down on this produce thing for just a minute here first, because
Sure.
this, I think, it impacts a lot of people,
Yes.
some of whom may not even know it. But can you talk about just the sheer volume of produce that comes into our country from Mexico? I think it sits in on our counters and in our refrigerators, and we don't realize where it all comes from, but a lot of it comes from Mexico.
Yes, there is a lot of produce imports from Mexico, avocados, tomatoes, onions, cucumbers, berries, a lot of produce that you see in your grocery stores pretty much come from Mexico. The majority that you're going to see at the grocery stores will come from Mexico. So yeah, if the supply chain has a disruption, eventually those shelves, counters, whatever have you, will be empty, and
Well,
you're not going to be able to find.
and let me ask this. That's not a commodity that lends itself to a shipper being able to just go, well, we'll wait and send this stuff
No.
later. That stuff will rot. And so in a lot of cases, aren't they going to be forced to just go, well, let the truckload go through, let them pay the tariffs for this, and then let the retailers figure out what they're going to charge for those avocados and tomatoes and whatever else.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think they're holding up just for a few days until they're able to ensure that they negotiate, because a lot of these companies that export produce into the United States are also the importer in the United States. So then they resell to distributors, to the grocery chains. Some grocery chains import by themselves, so those, I think, should not have an issue. But the Mexican exporters that are also importers are waiting to either collect those tariffs from their customers or negotiate some sort of price increase so that their customers will absorb that as well. So they cannot, they're perishable, so they cannot hold on to them for a prolonged period of time. They're going to have to ship it, or they're going to lose that load because it's going to go bad. It's going to spoil.
We start talking about the stuff that comes over from the Mexican border through Texas specifically, Jorge. And I think that a lot of people may not realize how much stuff. I mean, just up the border there from you in Laredo, that is the busiest port in the US in
That's
terms of
correct.
the value of stuff that comes across the border there and goes across the border there, busier than LA, busier than New York, any of these other places. There in McAllen, you guys are no slouches either. I mean, those bridges are packed all the time. Has that changed here in the last couple of days? Are there fewer trucks? Are you seeing less activity in the warehouse, et cetera?
Yes, there are fewer trucks crossing the border, obviously because of the reasons that we're talking about. But yeah, 80% of the exports from Mexico come to the US. Mexico is the number one trading partner, followed by China and Canada, to the US. So the magnitude of this is tremendous. So, but as far as activity is concerned, yes, it has slowed down.
And can you give an idea here? Because we start talking about a 25% tax. That's a very stiff tax. When you talk about a truckload of stuff that arrives at your warehouse, let's say, can you put a dollar figure on how high can that be for that truckload of stuff, just as far as its value goes? Can you put a dollar figure on what a truckload of stuff might go for total?
Yeah, for example, in the case of produce, avocados, a load can go $80,000 to $100,000.
Okay, so you're looking at 25%
Yeah.
tariff on top of that. Now you're
Yes.
talking about 125,000 instead of 100,000
Yes.
to bring that in.
80 automotive parts and other commodities. shipments are in the range to $50,000 to $100,000. So
Wow.
they're pretty pricey. Then some higher end complex like televisions, etc., those can be over $100,000 per truck.
Gee, this is a
So
lot of money.
it's high amounts. Yes, correct.
So have you been speaking with other importers and exporters on this side of the border and in Mexico? And sort of what is the feeling right now? Because we've had sort of this whiplash. These were supposed to go into effect, then they were paused. Then they went into effect. Now they've been partially paused. And we don't know what's going to happen next. What does that do? We always hear that business loves predictability. There is no predictability here. What is the feeling like?
Yes, like you mentioned, business likes certainty. Without certainty, we cannot make projections, forecasting, and invest in growth and facilities and projects. So yeah, all this situation creates uncertainty. So the importers, the industry overall is very concerned about this uncertainty. We feel that obviously this hopefully will be temporary. Obviously, President Trump is using this as a leverage to negotiate and get what he wants. We know the reasons for the tariffs are one, border security, the immigration issue, the drugs, fentanyl, the cartels. And then he also wants to promote industrial growth in the United States for companies to establish in the United States for manufacturing, create jobs. And also he's using this as a negotiating tool to put pressure on even partners like Mexico and Canada, and to show the world that from a geopolitical standpoint that we're pretty strong. So he's bringing politics into an area that we never saw politics like this before, which is the trade community, the import-export trade. So now we have to take politics very serious in our industry. Just real quick, today we were expecting an announcement that hopefully either the tariffs were going to be deferred again or reduced at a lower percentage, or maybe some products will not be subject to the tariffs.
Yeah.
So there was high expectation of today's announcement. Well, there was an announcement so far, but it only mentions that he's going to waive the tariffs, the 25%, for automobiles for 30 days.
Which is
So,
significant there
yeah.
along the Texas-Mexico border because we see these
Yes.
parts that go across, come back, go across, come back as, components are added
Yes.
on. But essentially, our two countries help to build these cars back and forth
Yes.
until it's completed. So that is significant down there. But again, it is just a 30-day reprieve. What do
Exactly.
you expect in these next 30 days? Do you expect that car makers are automakers are going to just be pulling in as much of that stuff from Mexico as they can get? Are we going to see these Mexican plants just cranking this stuff out and getting as much in here as possible?
I mean, from a natural standpoint, yes. I mean, if they have this month period, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to see a lot of exports for automobiles. Now, let's clarify. So far, the interpretation is it's only automobiles, complete automobiles. He didn't. They didn't mention auto parts. We're expecting some clarification later on
Well, that
today.
is an interesting
We're
point, yeah.
expecting some official notification from the White House on if it's only automobiles or if it all the It also covers auto parts. But yeah, as far as we're concerned, we're probably going to see a major increase in automobile imports for the month being. What's going to happen? What's happening behind the scenes? We don't know yet. But this 30-day will give that opportunity for automakers to import.
Jorge, you have close relationships with people across the border. You've been doing this for decades. Are people taking this personally? Because we've heard from, just in a, on a large scale that, here we are. These are our, quote unquote, friends, our allies, our closest neighbors, our trading partners who go way back with us. Do people take this personally as well?
To some degree, yes. Obviously, there's a lot of resentment of what's going on. I mean, first of all, they say, well, we're part of USMCA. How can you do this? You know,
US-Mexico-Canada agreement,
yeah,
which was
agreements
signed by and negotiated by President
by
Trump in his
President
first
Trump.
term.
Exactly. They said, well, he cannot do that because USMCA. Well, as you know, the executive branch in the United States has the power to impose special tariffs like this one. He did it through the IEEPA, which is the Emergency Act based on border security. That was his, I don't want to say excuse, but yes, I can say excuse to implement this tariff. So he found a mechanism to do it, besides USMCA. Now, obviously, Mexico and Canada can take the U.S. to court because maybe some provisions in the USMCA might be violated. But at the end of the day, the executive branch has certain powers to impose unilateral tariffs like this one. So yes, and obviously the impact, the financial impact, the inflationary impact that it's going to have, obviously it's going to eventually hit the pockets of both Mexico and U.S. consumers, and Canadian as well. So the resentment will be there. So, but what I tell people is, okay, yeah, we can be resentful. You might not like Trump, but at the end of the day, we as an industry, we need to focus on what's happening and how to work it out, how to mitigate the financial impact on this. And yes, work with our congressmen, our senators, our government officials to lobby and make sure that they understand that imposing tariffs and creating a trade war is not the way to do these things. Nobody wins in a trade war.
And have you guys down there been giving those lawmakers an earful? Have you been hearing from lawmakers at all?
Oh yes, I mean obviously a lot of association groups and groups both in Mexico and the United States have sent letters to representatives and government officials. Obviously they're in Washington, and but as far as feedback, not much.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well,
Yeah.
they may be just as whipsawed by all of this as everyone else too, and trying to figure
Exactly.
out which way they, how do they possibly get involved and do their part in this. I wanted to ask you because, part of the reasoning for this is to bring American manufacturing back to the U.S. And you start talking about these car companies in particular. So much is done in Mexico. They have huge maquiladoras there, the big factories. How realistic is, I mean, they've given a 30-day reprieve here, and essentially, I guess the message to automakers in this country is, hey, bring more of that stuff into the United States, like create it here. How realistic is that you see them be able to stand up operations like that, considering how much we rely on Mexico to be partners in this? And then what does that do to the price of a car even? Because the reason this relationship exists is because there is a lot of labor across the border that is much cheaper, which keeps that car price down some.
Yes, I mean, there's been some announcements that there's production increases of OEMs have announced making vehicles in the United States. Honda, for example, is going to make the Civic in Indiana and other expansions from GM and Ford. Now, that's probably added capacity. I don't think that it will be practical for them to shut down their operations in Mexico. Because they also sell in the Mexican market and they export from Mexico, not only to the US, but to other countries. So a total shutdown of facilities in Mexico is not practical. Maybe there's going to be extra capacity in the United States. But at the end of the day, also doing it in making cars in the United States is going to, like you mentioned, increase the car sticker price in the thousands of dollars. So they have to look at profitability. So they need to, and I, obviously there's some interviews by from the Ford CEO saying, this is we can manage this for a little while, but it's not going to be manageable for a prolonged period of time. So again, they're lobbying and the OEMs are lobbying and pushing the Trump administration to allow him to continue producing in Mexico and importing under USMCA. I don't know, like I said, the back what they're negotiating, that why they he gave 30 days. Maybe something is cooking that we're not aware of yet, but.
At the outset, you said that some of these companies in Mexico are holding back on sending their shipments right now, hoping that all of this can get ironed out and then they can send all of that stuff in and not have to pay these really steep tariffs. Do you get a sense of how long these companies can hold on this way? How long they can sit out like that?
Not for a long time because most of them build to order, so it's not that they're building stock. For those that just build stock inventory and then later sell their products, maybe they can wait longer. But we already have companies that we cannot hold on. I mean, some okay, a day or two is fine, but if we don't ship our product, we're gonna shut down our customers because they're second tier, third tier suppliers to automotive and to other industries in the electrical appliances, et cetera. So they're not able to hold on to those shipments. Now, what they're trying to do, like I mentioned, is how to work that out in the pricing or how to pass that along to their customers. Because if, for example, in the automotive industry, I was talking to a customer saying, Jorge, if I absorb the 25%, I'm going to be at a loss. And nobody's in business to operate at a loss. So I have to pass this through to our customers. And that's what they're working on, because some other contract that they have don't have specific clauses for this type of tariffs. So that's one thing I'm telling companies, and make sure that you in your contract you negotiate and put clauses that you can pass this through to your customers.
That's an interesting point too, because and that contradicts a lot of what President Trump has said for some time, is that these tariffs are paid by foreign countries to our country. It is actually the people who are bringing the product in, the distributors, who have to pay that tariff. And then a lot of cases, they have to pass that along to their customers, or they go out of business. They're not prepared for that 25% hit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he has to remember that most of the exports from Mexico are from U.S. entities that have a maquiladora or assembly plant in Mexico. So they're vested in this. So they're using those companies as or those entities in Mexico as cost centers so they can make more profit in the United States. So they're the ones paying the initial import tariffs as an importer. They're going to have to pass that through to their customer. And again, economics 101, I mean, these tariffs will have to eventually go either 100% or partially to the end consumer, which is you and me.
What will we notice first, do you think, as far as prices go or empty shelves? Is it going to be the produce?
I think will be price increases.
And I wanted to point out, I don't know if you're familiar with Ray Perryman from the Perryman Group in
Oh, yeah.
Waco,
Sure.
renowned economist there. We've
Yes,
had him
I've
on the
seen him several
podcast.
times.
Yeah, we've had him on the podcast. He estimates 1.9 million U.S. jobs could be lost if these tariffs on just Mexico and Canada are sustained for 1 year, that it's that drastic of an effect. He thinks that the average household would see about more than $1,500 a year in added costs because of the inflation caused by this. And he says the losses in Texas alone would be about $46 billion in annual gross product, and the loss of 370,000 jobs. That's a staggering thought when you get right down to it. You guys have been part of the Texas, so-called Texas miracle down there along the border with all of the business that's done. That's pretty staggering to think about those kinds of effects.
Yes, that is he's pretty accurate in those figures. I mean, and that's very concerning. Yes, we do see, for example, in my lane of business, if I don't have volume to import merchandise to be goods to be offloaded in the warehouse for cross docking, I mean, obviously I have to lay people off. That's gonna generate unemployment. I'm not gonna renew leases for buildings that I have warehouses. So everyone loses. Yeah, at the end of the day, these tariffs doesn't they don't make sense.
Jorge, how long can you last with things the way they are?
I mean, within a year, I mean, 6 months to a year, I mean, we'll in 6 months, if things don't improve, we'll have to start making adjustments. I
And
mean,
that would be
not,
really hard.
we'll probably survive, but we'll have to downsize and make adjustments.
That'd be a tough 6 months. Last thing for you here, you're so plugged in the community there, Jorge. You have to know everybody when you're in import export. I know that. We're talking about McAllen, Hidalgo County. Like so many counties along the border, it swung very much Republican in this last election in 2024. Trump was threatening, President Trump was threatening this all through the campaign and so forth. So people knew what they were voting for. I'm just curious, once it's actually done like this, do you sense that people there are still, fully behind him? Or do you sense that there's people going, wait a minute, we didn't, this isn't what we meant?
Well, like you mentioned, he talked about this in his campaign, and we knew all along that he was mentioning this. However, everyone thought, no, nah, it's not going to happen. He's just using this for his campaign to gain votes. So now we're in a reality check. And yeah, there's going to be some remorse, some voter remorse. Maybe the offset might be, some people voted because of the border, because of the tax implications, that the tax reductions, and some, I don't want to get political, but say the other option is not viable for me regardless. So maybe those will still, okay, well, I don't agree with this tariff situation, but I still support him to some degree. But yeah, there will be some that say, oh my God, why did I vote for him? So we're probably going to have a mix there.
Are you already hearing some of those things?
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then it's based on both comments on both sides.
Yeah, I totally get it. Jorge, thanks so much for doing this with us. It's great to actually get a finger on the pulse of what's happening right there at the border. I really appreciate your time. I know these are crazy days right now, and we're gonna have to do it sooner next time than 3 years. That went by fast since we last met.
Hopefully, we'll do it soon, and we'll be talking in different terms
Yeah, these are tough days for
for
sure.
different
Wishing
things.
you and everybody down there all the best navigating all this.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Thanks, man.